It up. Next week, I believe right now we're on chapter 11, I believe. And I've got something interesting next week. I don't have all the scripture references yet, but I'm hoping I will by next week. I'm going to have some information to pass out. Some folks have been asking, how does America play in the end times? How does the United States of America, what's their part? And I have an opinion on that. Again, the United States of America isn't specifically mentioned in the scripture by name, but I have an opinion based upon other scripture references. It's not a shot in the dark or anything. I believe that you should have scripture to support scripture. But I'll share my opinion about that next week, and it is just that. I'm not going to try and tell you that I am anything more of a scholar in the Bible than anybody else. The Bible is what the Bible is. I'm not going to try and add to it. But I'll share my opinion next week after I get some more scripture references. So today we're going to go ahead and read in chapter 11 about the two witnesses that are in the revelation of the end times that God's going to send. And I'll share my opinion about who I believe they are, too. Again, that's just my opinion. I'm not going to get into a fight with you over it. If you disagree, the point is two witnesses are going to come. I mean, we can agree on that. And I have scripture that supports who I feel they are, but again, it is just my opinion. So let's read in chapter 11. We'll read through chapter 11, and then we'll go back and look at a few things in it. So in chapter 11, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. I want to stop there for a second to share with you something. God knows what he's talking about. Isn't it interesting that 42 months turns out to be 3.5 years? You know, God knows what he's talking about whenever the scriptures were put together. So we go on and it says, And I will give unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, and it rained not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they shall dwell upon the earth, shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. By the way, that's the same we heard back in chapter 4 regarding the rapture. A voice saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. If you recall the three woes, the angels speaking about the three woes that are to come. I'm going to pause there just a minute before we get into the seventh trumpet in the latter part of 11. And I'm going to share with you, I believe these two witnesses that are going to come, based upon what the Bible says, and as a point of the man wants to die, I believe that it's going to be Elijah and Enoch. I mean, that's my opinion of who it is, because they haven't died. The Bible teaches us that man's going to die once. Well, I mean, if you're a Christian, you're going to be born twice and die once. If you're if you're not saved, you're born once and you die twice, physical death and spiritual death. But a man's going to physically die once. It's appointed in the man wants to die. Elijah and Enoch have never physically died. They were taken out. They were brought up into heaven. These two never died. That's why I believe that they're going to be the prophets, the witnesses that shall return. Some say that one of the witnesses is going to be Moses, And there, one of their strong arguments for that is about the plagues that these witnesses shall bring. It's a strong argument nonetheless. But if you were Moses, if you have died and you're in the splendors of heaven, I don't think you'd want to come back. I mean, maybe it's just me, but if you're standing before God Almighty in heaven, I don't think there's too much that's going to be able to pull you away from that. While you're standing, you're not going to want to come back to this plague to earth. So, I mean, that's my opinion on who I believe that they are going to be. But regardless, if you disagree, that's fine. Regardless, two witnesses are going to come, and they're going to bring about these plagues on the earth. They're going to bring about, as described here, torment to the inhabitants of the earth. And then after their ministry for 3.5 years, the Antichrist himself wages war against these two prophets and kills them, or at least he thinks. And thus it says here, that the Spirit comes out upon them and raises them from the dead after 3.5 days.
Amen.
Isn't that the saying that he who laughs last laughs the loudest? And it's going to be such an awesome sight. I believe we'll be watching the splendor of it from heaven whenever these two witnesses are laying in the streets of the city, and people are praising and shouting, just having a good old time because they think, oh, these two maniacs are dead. And all of a sudden, whoa. Here we are. Ah, my goodness, I can just imagine the fright that's going to be on the people in that city whenever these two are raised from the dead. And, it's amazing. Last year, I had a greeting card, or a Christmas card. Somebody gave me a Christmas card, preacher, last year. And the verse in it that they quoted it was Revelation 11:10, part of Revelation 11:10, and it said, "Make merry and shall send gifts one to another." The greeting card company quoted a verse about gifts, nonetheless. But look at the context in which they quote, which that verse is in. This verse is talking about these, the two witnesses that have died, and all the earth is rejoicing and giving gifts and everything. And here, this foolish greeting card company quoted that as a verse on a Christmas card. I'm reading that and I'm going, that verse sounds so familiar. And so I said, isn't that that one? I opened up, sure enough, there it was. I thought, it's when you only take a part of something, you don't get the whole thing. If they only realize what they're passing around on their cards, it's not something that you should really be merry about. I mean, these two people, they got killed. But as Christians, 3.5 days later, I think we do have something to be merry about because God's going to come over them, raise them from the dead, and shall bring them up into the clouds, up into heaven. So I thought that was, it was on the right in the middle of the Christmas card. It was talking about giving gifts to one another. And they quoted part of Revelation 11:10. It probably was. I won't go any further with that one. That's probably best. But it's amazing that to some of these companies, secular companies, it's just a book. It's just another book to them, and it's really sad. It's not just a book. It's the Bible. It's God's word. And they did. It made me laugh, I guess. I mean, they brought a smile on my face because I laughed at how ignorant they are. That's right. Yes. So here are these two witnesses, and yeah, surprisingly, it was the King James Bible. But it was just, I guess, that they took it out. They took it completely out of context. Yeah, that one's probably gone in the NIV. I'm sure they found an easier word than gift. I don't know what that word gift means. I'm sure they changed that into something more easier for us to understand, because we're so dumb. But so these two witnesses, they come, God brings them, and they bring about these plagues on the earth, and it says here, somebody says, do you really believe that that fire will come out of their mouth and consume their enemies? Is that what it says? That's what it says. You have no authority to take that further than what it says. That's what the Bible says. I believe that's what's going to happen. If God's going to protect his own. I shared this last week. As a child of God, God's going to protect you. You may feel that at times God has ignored you. I know Brother Phil and I had a wonderful visit yesterday with a man who felt that God's been ignoring him. And, we shared some scripture with him, and And I, 20 degrees out there yesterday, preacher, but we were hot. We were warmed up. Because I told Phil, I said, wow. I said, we could just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit just coming amongst us. So as we talked to this man about eternal security, and it was a great visit. I shared with him how, Jacob, I'm sure he thought, as he was sold by his brothers, put into prison, accused of lies. Joseph. My apologies. I told you I didn't have a lot of sleep last night. But I told him how as all this happened to him, I'm sure maybe the thought might have crossed his mind, why is God ignoring me? But 13 years later, he saw God wasn't ignoring him. So it was a good visit. I don't know how I got on that, but nonetheless, these two witnesses came, and they brought these plagues to the people. They had fire comes out of their mouth to kill those that tried to kill them. And eventually they are killed, and God raises them from the dead for their 3.5 years of ministry. Let's go on and read the rest of chapter 11. I'm going to try and get through 5 chapters today, believe it or not. So we're going to fly through this. That way we're able to finish the entire book by next week. Reading in verse 15, if you recall, we had first the 7 seal judgments, right? Each seal that was broken represented the judgment. The 7th seal was broken, and that opened up the 7 trumpet judgments. And then, of course, the 7th trumpet judgment, after the 7th one, we were presented with the 7 thunder judgments, which we don't know what they are. In the book of Revelation, talks about how they're judgments that we couldn't understand. And God told John to withhold those, and those aren't revealed to us. But I'm sure they're going to be awful. Nonetheless, this is the Great Tribulation. But we don't know what they are. I'm not going to try and ponder what they could be. But anyways, here we have the 7th trumpet judgment. And the 7th angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which I believe that's to represent those that are saved, that's the church, and that's us. If you're saved this morning, you're going to be standing before God. It says, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou should give us reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and unto the saints. And them that fear thy name shall small and great, and shall destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Well, what a powerful time. If you're saved, it's going to be, I think, a time of rejoicing, a time of excitement. Here we see the kingdoms of this earth being replaced with the kingdom of God. And I believe as a Christian, as a saved person, we can't even really understand the amount of rejoicing and that's going to be taking place. Nothing on this earth is going to compare to it. And it's interesting, to note, I believe I may have shared this before, sometimes people say that, Jesus is the king of this world, or God is this, the Lord's earth, or the Lord's, not yet. Satan rules on this earth. He sits on the throne of this earth. Eventually, though, God will reign on this earth for 1,000 years. I believe throughout this whole book, the book of Revelation, I can just sense the excitement in John. Lord, come on, let it happen, let it happen. He's excited, he's pumped up. And I think as Christians, we need to take heed to that and get excited about it. We need to look forward to what is going to be occurring, to what is, what is going to be taking place. But I wanted to show you here, this is a kingdom that's never going to die. This is a kingdom that's going to go on forever. It seems like all the time we have things that pass away, things that we hold on to we were talking yesterday about the currency. We think we hold on to our money, we hold on to our stocks, our investments. It's going to pass away. It's going to be worthless. This is something that is going to be forever and ever and ever and ever. Great leaders pass away, but the Lord Jesus Christ will never. And so as I read this, last week and was just dwelling in it, I got excited thinking about the prospect of eternity. I mean, that trying to grasp what that really means, eternity, and how excited I still am. I'm just a little tired right now, but how excited I am just thinking that all the woes are going to be passed away, all the torment, all the sickness and disease, and this is going to be an eternity. So as Christians, I believe we need to be excited about what's going to be occurring, and we should look forward to the Lord's coming. Now I want to go on the speeding up here, go on to chapter 12, and let's go ahead and read. Well, I'm going to read through the entire chapter. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his hands. And his tail drew the third part of the skies, the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, and to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So I'll stop right there. That woman is no other than the nation of Israel. If you recall, the nation of Israel is the nation that gave birth to the Savior, to Christ. And that's who this is talking about here. And it says here that this woman, upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. You know, I wonder, could those be the 12 tribes of Israel? Yeah. I really believe this is Israel that we're talking about here. And it says here, she, being great with child, that's the Savior that was born. That's Jesus Christ. But then there's somebody else who appears in this scene, and that's Satan, who, with all his power, tried to kill Jesus Christ, who tried to destroy him. We saw that right from the beginning, whenever the wise men were sent out with their mission to kill him. But God's still in control. God's still able to change hearts, and God did change the hearts of those men. And Satan tried with all his effort to try and destroy Jesus Christ, but he was not successful. He did not prevail. And it's interesting to note here that after she gave birth to the Savior, Israel fled. If you recall, it talks in the Bible how, signs of the end times whenever Israel becomes a nation again. Israel wasn't a nation for a long, long time, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Was it 1958? Was that the year, or 57? 1948, Israel became a nation again. Folks, the signs of the end times are all around us. We're getting closer and closer we're getting closer and closer every single day. And it's all working out according to God's plan. This woman, Israel, fled into the wilderness, as it says, as we just read, and eventually God brought her back, and she is now a nation. And I'm sorry for the nations that are going to rise up against her, because they're going to lose.
You're right.
I believe with all this talk about the politics, I'm looking for a candidate who is going to support Israel. And there are a few of them out there, by the way, who still realize the biblical significance of standing by Israel.
Yes.
And that's kind of exciting with all this filth today and all the corruption politics. There's still a few of them who still believe the scriptures and how important it is to stand by the nation of Israel. So that kind of excited me, because I got to a point where I thought, There is no good politicians anymore. There are no, none of them, probably don't even know what the Bible is, preacher. But there still are a couple of decent, I'm not putting my hope and faith in politicians, don't misread me. But there are still a couple of them who actually, I believe, study the scripture. And that's exciting this day and age. Yeah. She studies something. I don't know if it's the Bible or not. But, yeah, probably. I won't dwell on that. let's go on to verse 7 here. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. This is going to be a big battle, by the way, here. This is big. And prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Did you know that to this day, Satan's still standing before heaven? I know my dad and I had an interesting talk last week, He's up there accusing us, you and I, right now. He's up there saying, God, you know your servant Liz, you know that one that's. She's going to throw a shoe at me. But he's up there accusing. He's going, remember what she did, or she did this one time, or did that one. God, remember? I don't know what you're talking about, Satan. He's up there accusing you and I right now. Satan would love for to pluck you out of the hand of God, but you're secure. You're not going to be moved out of the hand of God. And so Satan tries to accuse you, tries to bring up your past. And you know what shoots Satan down? Go ahead. Bring up your testimony. Bring up that's right. Bring up the name of Jesus. Satan, you know what? I claim the blood.
Yeah, amen.
And get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that's going to be successful over Satan. I think a lot of times, in the world today, we see all kinds of different religions, or Catholicism, for example, and they'll throw around names like God, and there was one person who was talking to, I don't know if it was an archbishop or whatever, wanted to create a universal term for God so that the Muslims and Catholics could join together. I wonder where that's going.
Yeah.
Right, right. And they throw around terminology like God just like it's nothing. But the name Jesus Christ still sparks fear into the
yes.
devils and into the
yes.
demons of this world. And that's one name that they won't throw around haphazardly. You know, they'll claim church, they'll claim God, they'll claim any kind of religious symbolism. But when the name of Jesus Christ comes up, the devils tremble. That's in the book of James, by the way. The devils acknowledge there's a God too, and they I'm not quoting exactly, but my point of that saying is, you know, there's a lot of people who say, oh, I believe in God. That don't get you to heaven, by the way. The devils believe in that there's a God. So we hear this there's battle in heaven. Satan's up there accusing the brethren day in and day out. And that's evident too in the book of Job. He was up there accusing Job. You know, two times he went before God. It's interesting though that there wasn't a third time, and it's not. We don't really hear about from Satan, you know, what happened after, you know, after Job proved, you know, what Satan was trying to get him to do. You know, Job, of course, didn't curse God's name, and it's interesting. Satan kind of cowered and backed off, and didn't come up and say anything else. Bring up your testimony. Bring up the name of Jesus. Bring up that you're locked in His hand. That's what gets Satan running. So here we have this battle in heaven, and Satan is finally cast out of heaven. And we're in heaven at this point, by the way, and we'll be rejoicing because he's no longer there to accuse the brethren. But and right again, there in verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So Satan's cast from heaven, but he's thrown under the earth. The people who are left on this earth now, have the remaining 3.5 years of the tribulation period with Satan unleashed on the earth. If you've ever been hunting or have an animal that's been hit by a car or just watched an animal as it prepares to die and in its last moments, have you noticed how vicious it gets as it's clinging on to its last bit of life? A dog, for example, that's ready to die, how vicious they can get. Because they realize that their end is near. That's what's going to be going on here with Satan whenever Satan's unleashed on the earth. He knows what's going to happen. Satan's not dumb. I feel bad. There's some Christians who think that, oh, they're wittier and smarter and stronger than Satan. You fool. Don't try and go up against Satan. You can't. What do you mean, Brother Josh? I thought you just got... I said what you claim can go up against Satan. If you claim Jesus Christ and you hold on to the word of your testimony, that can go up against Satan. You can't. You will fall.
Right.
We see it all the time. There's somebody who struggles with alcohol, and they decide, I'm going to go back into that bar and win all my friends. I guarantee, I may be wrong, but probably within a week they're going to be
right
back at it. You're weak. The flesh is weak. Don't try to go up against what you cannot conquer. Because, by the way, if you were able to conquer it, I don't think Christ would have to die on the cross if it was up to you to conquer your own sins. So don't try to overcome what you can't overcome. I think that's also a very arrogant and prideful spirit whenever you think that, you know, oh, I can face that. You won't. I promise you. Take it from some, you know, I've been there, done that. I'm sure all of us in here have. We've at one point or another thought, I'm strong enough of a Christian. No, I can handle that. Don't let Satan deceive you. You're going to fall. So here that Satan is cast out onto the earth, and it says, we'll read in verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because, looky here, look what it says here, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He knows what's going on. And so let's keep on reading. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, that's Israel. A sure sign of the end times is the continued persecution of Israel. And it's, watch the news, folks, it's happening.
Yep.
He persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. God's going to protect his own. He always does. Into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half of a time for the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that she might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which God, keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So war being waged against the nation of Israel. And there's going to be many attempts for nations to overcome Israel. It's not going to succeed, though. God's going to protect Israel. He's going to protect that nation. And I'm going to share with you next week an interesting verse from Ezekiel, which I believe talks directly about Russia. If you translate the words, it talks directly about Russia. And it's interesting to note, and whenever you're given a direction in the Bible, and at least right, it's typically always relative to Jerusalem. Anytime a direction's given, it's always in reference to Jerusalem.
Right.
If the Bible says north, it means you take Jerusalem and you go right up. If it says you go south, you take Jerusalem and you go directly south. It's really interesting. Go home, look on your maps, find Jerusalem. Okay, go north when it talks about the enemy from the north. Okay, it intersects it directly. A perfect line that goes right through Moscow.
Yep.
Some food for thought for you this morning. Russia's, that's right. And I have some, there's more scripture that backs it up from Ezekiel. I'm going to bring that out, you know, next week. Oh, I thought you meant the grocery store. I thought you meant Giant Eagle. I was like, Russia and Giant Eagle will attack Israel. They're gonna.
No,
Russia's not going to help. No. They're going to, right.
They're kill them.
Yes.
But it says that the dragon tried to kill Israel, but God had a great eagle.
Right.
A great eagle makes me think of an airplane.
Right.
And he's going to take them to a place called Petra. They're already prepared it.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that's where they're going to hide.
Right. God's going to protect that nation. And,
yeah.
You know, I there's a lot of people, even within Christians, who have ought against Jewish people. You're stupid if you have ought against Jewish people. Yeah, you do. I agree with what you said in one of your messages. You know, you should be thanking the Jewish people, because had they accepted and received the Christ, you would have been out of luck. So yeah, that's because they rejected him. That's why we had a chance to receive him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So here, you know, we have all these nations going up against Israel, and how much time we got? Okay, we're running out of time. I want to just go ahead and start reading in 13, talking more about the Antichrist and the false prophet. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seen it. By the way, I just want to insert here, the Antichrist is already on the scene, okay? He came with after the rapture. That's whenever the Antichrist is going to make his appearance. For 3.5 years, they're going to have peace unlike any other time. But then that's after the 3.5 years. That's whenever I'll say all hell on earth is going to break out, which it really is. I'm not swearing. I'm just, it really is a hell on earth. That's right.
And that's when it starts to fly.
Yep. If you notice, it's like we have this guy called the False Prophet. We're going to be reading about just a little bit, who kind of is, if you look at it, they're in the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, the only Trinity, God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit always directs people to God the Son.
Right.
You know, but in the unholy Trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, and the False Prophet,
right.
The False Prophet always directs people to himself. If you think about it, it's a lie that people are going to be falling for. It's a mockery of the Holy Trinity, and they're gonna. That's why I believe there's three of them, because they're trying to make people believe that hey, we're God. Eventually, the Antichrist is even going to resurrect himself. He's going to die and resurrect himself to try and make people believe that, no, that's what the prophecies say, and he's gonna have a lot of people going to fall for it. So we are out of time. Yep. That's right. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, what we're going to have is the Antichrist representing kind of like the government head, okay, the leadership of the people, and then the false prophet, it's kind of like the religious leader.
Like John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what do we have today that is kind of like church and state? It's Catholicism. They have their own country, by the way. It's called the Vatican. And I don't know. I may be wrong, but it seems to make sense. It seems to make sense that possibly the false prophet could even be a pope. I'm not saying for certain. I don't know who it's going to be. But wouldn't that make sense, though, if we're talking here a government leader, the Antichrist, with a false prophet, the religious leader, coming together, church and state together, wouldn't it make sense in a religion, a cult, I'll go ahead and call it a cult, like Catholicism, that is so strongly state and religion intertwined? I believe it was during the Reagan administration, remember, they finally became an official country, their own country, the Vatican over there. It's a little city, but it's recognized. It's recognized as a country. It's recognized by the United Satanic Nations or whatever. I think that's going to play a big part in the end times too. Uniting of the world together. We've seen it with the currencies, the United European Front over there, the Euro. They're talking about doing it over here now, creating a universal North American currency. I'm not getting political, but there's even a few candidates running for president. That are supporting a North American union, that are supporting international highways running from Canada all the way down to Mexico, that are supporting a standardized currency that will be good in Mexico, United States, Canada. We're on the threshold. We're on the precipice of the end times. We're right there.
Yes, you're right.
And we're reading ahead here of what's going to be taking place. If you believe the Bible, and I believe most, probably all of you do this morning, as I look out amongst all of you, take heed to this, because this is all going to happen. We're right there. I mean, I think we're right at the edge here, getting ready to go over.
Yes.
But we're not going over. We're going up.
Amen.
Okay. So let's take heed to what the scriptures are telling us. Next week, I'm going to go home and I'll what I'm going to do, because there's some stuff I want to get to about where I believe America fits into. I think it's really important. It's not, when I say it's not important, it's important because we're Americans, but it's not something that we should be frightened by. Because whenever I believe this nation does collapse and fold, I don't believe we're going to be here. I believe we're going to be raptured out. So, I mean, it's important because we're Americans and our family and friends are Americans, and I believe it's important in the aspect that we need to do everything we can while we can to reach them. But I don't think that's something that you should go home and lose sleep over, frightened, because you're not going to go through this if you're saved. So I'll end with that. And Preacher, why don't you come on up, and we'll next week we'll I don't know if we'll get through all the rest of the chapters, because I really want to bring up that about America and the end times.
So. You're doing a good job, Josh. Isn't he a blessing?
Yeah.
Kid's only 22 years old. I'm really proud of him. 22, that's pretty good for a young fellow, 22. And we're really proud, Josh. He's doing an excellent job. He gets me so pumped up. I get so excited when you're going there, Josh. Got me going, Joshy. Let's have a moment of prayer and we'll break for 5 minutes. Father, we're thankful for the great study of the book of Revelation. Lord, we thank you for Josh. He's done a tremendous job with it. And Lord, I just pray now you'll bless next Sunday as we study together and help us to see all some truths of this great book. And Lord, help us understand what Josh just said. Lord, we don't have to fear. We won't be there at that time. You'll be taking us out. You'll keep us from that hour. And so, Father, Revelation 3:10. And so, Heavenly Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and praise you. And we pray you'll bless the remainder of the day. In Christ's name, amen. All righty, we'll break for 5 minutes.